Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another Focus podcast. I am Singing Lisa. So happy to have you here. And of course, I, as always, pray that you and your loved ones are well and that you are staying safe and staying inside until the coast is clear. So we are happy to also spotlight a very special person, and we love hearing stories of victory, stories of survival, and people who have overcome. And we have another exciting person for you to meet on today. And her name is Kathy Baker. As a matter of fact, it's Pastor Kathy Baker. And along with her husband, Jerry, they both pastor Metro Church. And we are so thrilled to have you here with us, Kathy, to just share your story. And you have a testimony, as many do, because you have met up close and have had an experience with COVID-19.
Yes, I have.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, please tell everyone a little about yourself. We know that you hail from New Orleans, and along with pastoring the church, I'm sure your life is full.
Yes, it is. I'm blessed in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. My husband and I pastor Metro Church, and I'm a native of New Orleans, and I went to college in Mississippi. And then my husband took me to Texas for 25 years. And then we came back home. We came back to New Orleans, my home, because I wanted to come back a year before Katrina.
Wow.
Timing. What timing, right? But, you know, we really felt like that it was all in God's time and God's plan. And so we really felt like God positioned us here to be spiritual leaders in the city during such a terrible time in the city, if you were here through mm-hmm. Katrina.
Absolutely.
And I've been a licensed minister for 35 years. I know that sounds like a forever number, but it's true. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a pastoral counselor, which I've also done for many years, 27 or 28 years at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, my life has been full. We have 3 children and 5 granddaughters. So our
wow.
life is crazy good.
All
but
girls.
I know, right? But they're so much fun. And yes, they own my husband's heart. They stole it from me. So, but it's all good. It's all good.
That is
so
wonderful.
We have been here in the city now. We've been back here since 2004. Mm. So this is kind of like second home. First home,
right.
And second home, and third home. So, yes.
Right. Well, you definitely have been on a journey. And we know that anytime anybody mentions Katrina, that just time stamps where you were and mm-hmm. what your life has probably been like. And so I know it was very important coming back after that for mm-hmm. not only people to get help rebuilding, but especially for the church to be a staple and to be something
absolutely.
Solid that people could look at as a beacon of light so they mm-hmm. could know that, you know, their foundation was secure in what they were familiar with before. So, you know, having to go through that and helping people and even yourselves having to, you know, find life again, I know that was a huge challenge. And I'm sure for all of us, we thought, well, what else could we have to go through because this was horrible. But then,
here we go.
Here we go,
right?
COVID-19, right. So, yes. You know, I guess what you could say is that you've had some experience with unexpected and difficult challenges and seasons.
Yes. It was on March the 26th. We were actually doing our daily broadcast, and I felt a little different. I wasn't really sure what was going on. And so as soon as we finished our broadcast, I got up and went and got a thermometer out of my kitchen, and I took my temperature. Mm-hmm. And I came back, and I realized that my temperature was up to about 102. Mm-hmm. And so I told my husband, I said, I'm running fever. And he said, well, go take some Tylenol. And, you know, really, I guess this is not something that we ever anticipated that we would actually be mm-hmm. dealing with personally.
Sure.
We had always, you know, thought, well, we're going to be here to support people and their journey.
Mm-hmm.
But the process was, it was not quick in the beginning, but all of a sudden it was like when you fell off the cliff, you fell off the cliff. Mm-hmm. And it was very sudden then when all the symptoms began to happen. And Sunday, 2 days later, I was struggling to breathe. And my husband ended up, I knew I was in trouble. I didn't know how, you know, I kept thinking, well, it's going to pass. We have had a virus, a stomach virus, 24 hours, right. 48 hours, you know, mm-hmm. you think, oh, this is going to, I'm going to get over this. Mm-hmm. But it just continued getting worse. And so I finally told my husband, I'm in trouble. And I said, you need to get me to the emergency room, which he did. He took me into the emergency room. And I cannot say enough applause to the medical team because they were ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. They were so well versed in helping me. Yes. They kept me in the emergency room for 24 hours. Okay. But that was all by design. I think it was God's divine plan that mm-hmm. he kept me there because I had some acute issues that took place. Okay. The night that I spent in the emergency room, they had me on an EKG. And in the middle of the night, my heart began to race and it wouldn't slow down. They gave me a couple of things orally to hopefully to slow my heart down. It didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So they ended up having to start and stop my heart 3 times.
Wow.
Just to get it back into the proper rhythm. Mm. So, and all of this was part of the virus. There was all these things, your whole body kind of goes on tilt. Mm-hmm. I was finally put into a room the next day. And again, I was concentrating on breathing. Every thought, every moment, I felt so, I told the nurse while I was in the ER room, I said, I feel like I'm sitting here thinking, okay, breathe in, breathe out. And mm-hmm. I had oxygen on, but yet it was not satisfying my need. And the nurse said, that's a very good thing to do, to consciously think, to mm-hmm. breathe in and to breathe out. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up staying several days in the hospital. And again, they were amazing. I didn't want to go home. I was almost, when the doctor had seen enough progress in me, he said, I think you need to go home now. He said, I'm going to send you home with oxygen and with medication. He said, but for you to stay in the hospital is more dangerous than for you to go home at this mm-hmm. point. Mm-hmm. So I was very anxious about, because I didn't feel better. I didn't feel like, oh, okay, now I'm well enough, I can go home. But I came home and it was still, now you have to understand this. I'm thinking 3 days, 4 days. And I kept asking the doctor, how long? How long is this gonna last? And he says, well, you know, we understand it lasts 14 days. Well, it took me till the 17th day before I felt human.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. It was literally that long to really get to the place. And it was interesting because I was still on the oxygen machine, but on that 17th day, I consciously recognized that the oxygen was actually satisfying some of my body. I was inhaling and it was actually going in to my lung. I could feel it being mm-hmm. absorbed to some degree. Mm-hmm. But during that process, there were a couple of nights, and I really want to talk about that because I really had to face the fact that I could die. Mm-hmm. When I was in the hospital, there was a real reality that came to me. Of course, there was several, you know, code blues that took place while I was in there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to be a statistic. And I kept praying, God, please, you know, I don't feel like I want to, I don't want to come and be succumbed to this. I'm just going to share with, which I believe is God in my life, touching my life. But I really believe God gave me, in my prayer time, I was in this in the hospital, and I was at a crossroads, which I really felt I was struggling with the fact that if I didn't really desire to live, I could choose mm-hmm. to go home to heaven, to my mm-hmm. to my reward. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't frightening at all. I was right there you know, heaven is not someplace that is off up in the, I mean, it's a different dimension that's there, but it's very close to us. Mm-hmm. And I knew I had a choice. I knew I had to make a decision. It was my choice. And I wasn't finished yet. I knew I wasn't finished yet. Yeah. And so I was in my prayer conversing with God, and I said, God, I don't want to go now. I don't feel like I'm supposed to go now. And it was almost as if I heard God chuckle. He said, good, because your place is not ready here yet. You know, he's prepared a place for me, but it wasn't done yet.
Not so it's ready.
Time, but, you know, we'll work it out if it's not. You know, there wasn't like a rejection going on. It was just a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And so I continued. Now, you would think something like that when you really touch heaven and you've really prayed and you feel like, okay, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to live because I've chosen to live, that you're just going to come up on out of this. And then it didn't happen. And when I got home, I was still struggling to breathe. I would stay up. I had to sleep sitting up, which I didn't sleep much. I would just prop myself up. And I would just pray and ask God to breathe for me, because I was struggling so hard to breathe and it was exhausting. And I think that's one thing about this, is that it wears you down, you know, and you have to call on God. You have to pray. You have to believe that there's something supernatural that needs to touch your life. And God is there when we call upon, when we call out to him, he is there. He is there for us. He hears everything.
Definitely.
And when we cry out, he answers, but it's not always easy.
No. And you brought up, you know, really good point, because even though you got that answer of you're not leaving and you're going to be here, you have work to do. Did you feel that with your struggling to breathe, was that even with the oxygen?
Yeah.
Do you think that it was there enough? Were there sliding numbers that they allowed you to increase it if you needed more because you were at home at this point?
Well, that was interesting, because after we even got home, I was still struggling to breathe, and I knew I was that after the seventh day, which I didn't learn until the doctor told me this, is that on the seventh day, you begin to feel like you're going to get better. Mm-hmm. And it was true. You felt like you were coming up for air, you know, pun intended, but you were getting better. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it was like the second phase that you would dump into. Mm-hmm. And that night my husband ended up, because I had the oxygen, I was breathing the oxygen through the tube, but it wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. And the EMTs came out that night about 1 o'clock in the morning, and they checked all my vitals, and they said, you know, you're not bad. You can go to the hospital, but you know, they may not have a place for you again. And I didn't want to go back to the emergency room, but he said, if it gets any better, we'll come back out. Mm-hmm. So my husband prayed for me. And of course we were praying all the time, but we really came in agreement at that point that we'd be able to get through this next phase of this journey.
Sure. Which is very challenging, because again, you almost get a false sense of improvement is what I'm hearing. And you have another battle, another hill to climb. So let me ask you, as a pastor's wife or as a pastor yourself, did you have a question as to maybe, God, why is this happening to me when we were just ready to help everybody else and through their journey?
Well, there's a scripture that I go back to all the time is, it rains on the just and the unjust. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think God uses all things. Mm-hmm. And I believe that he's going to use this testimony. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't have a compassion. You know, I guess, unfortunately, even I had heard so many people say, well, this is just like the flu. It's just a bad flu. Mm-hmm. But going through this journey, let me inform you, this is not a bad flu. This is a monster. Mm-hmm. This virus is a monster. And I wouldn't have had the testimony of victory. And I think the important part is that we triumph, but it's not always instant.
Right. And it's through trials. There is an endurance process. And so you definitely have done that. And so now that you're on the other side and you've gone to the part where you have surpassed the 17 days and you're on the healing side of it, how has it been? What is your daily regimen? What are your members saying? And everybody else, have you had a drive-by? Because, you know...
We have. We've had visitors come by and drive, you know, our friends and neighbors come. And we were on that 14-day quarantine after the last symptoms. So we really couldn't leave the house even after that. But this is the thing that is, it's taken me from the last time. This has been about 3 weeks now since I had my last symptoms, 3.5 weeks. This is what I want to say is I am weak as could be. Okay. And so I look like I'm strong and I'm going to it, but my energy level is very limited. I've had to work at getting my capacity of my lungs back, doing the respiratory therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, it wiped me out energy wise. Mm-hmm. And when I spoke with my doctor, you know, I'm going, look, this is not, I don't know what's wrong. Something's wrong with me. I feel foggy in my head. I can't go long distances, and he kind of chuckled. He said, Kathy, it's going to take you. And this was just 10 days ago. He said, this is going to take you about another 2 or 3 weeks to really get back.
Yes.
You can't rush this part of it.
Yes.
Because this has damaged your energy level. It's drained you. Mm-hmm. And that truly is it. Mm-hmm. So my days are still interesting. Some days I'm stronger than others. I can overdo it. A couple of times I've overdone myself physically, but I do feel stronger every day. Mm-hmm. And I believe that God is going to restore me completely and maybe even make me better in the long stretch. But, you know, one of the things, I don't know how people could go through this journey without prayer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I believe that it's so very important. I believe many people have discovered their prayer life if they didn't have one, because it's got to be very scary when you're basically facing the end of your life in minutes because things happen so, so quickly. And I know that people have, and I think one of the things that's most interesting is because of the severity of this disease, the contagious factor, you literally are left by yourself. And so you have an alone time. You find that you're by yourself. And I think that is so prominent with people. They have not been able to be with their families. They couldn't talk to people. And, you know, I'm sure you had that isolation period as well, where if there wasn't Zoom or some technology that gave you some glimpse of, you know, some familiarity, you were literally in the hands of the people who were trying to figure this all out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, alone in the hospital. My husband brought me to the emergency entrance of the hospital, and they put me, you know, in a wheelchair because mm-hmm. I wasn't able to walk at that point because of my breathing. And they just took me in. And I mean, it wasn't like, okay, honey, I'll see you. I mean, it was just, they were rushing me in. And it didn't really dawn on me until I got into the emergency room mm-hmm. that he wasn't going to be allowed in.
Yeah.
And of course he was calling me. He was parked in the parking lot mm-hmm. and he stayed out there till the early hours in the morning mm-hmm. until he knew that they were going to keep me. Mm-hmm. And they possibly were going to have to transport me out to Baton Rouge, because they thought maybe a hospital there would have a room for me, but that never happened. They had a room that opened for me there in the hospital. And so I was able to be taken care of there.
Now,
being alone is a trauma in that time, because you just want a comforting voice, mm-hmm. you know, or just having somebody hold your hand that you love, but know that, and it is a very, it's a frightening thing.
Yes.
It's a frightening thing.
Yeah. Well, I know that because of your foundation, you know, I'm sure some natural things kicked in or some spiritual things kicked in when you were able to. Did you find that you had a conversation with someone or you provided hope for someone else, even in your situation where, you know, because basically you're our eyes inside. So what was the atmosphere like inside? Because I know we are lifting our health providers up to the heavens because of their great, great heroic efforts to save lives. And so what was that like?
Well, there was a couple of things, and I'll try to do it really quickly, but the medical professionals that were in the emergency room, I just thought that I would engage them and I'd tell them how thankful I was for them. And they would tell me that they hadn't seen their families in, you know, 3-4 weeks because they had been on call and that they had been working in the hospital hand, you know, on the front lines.
Nonstop.
And this was the best way to protect their family.
Yes.
And I just wanted to weep. I'm going, well, bless you. Thank you so much. You know, this is a calling. This is not just your job.
Yes.
This is a calling that you've answered. And I said, you know, God is going to bless you for your faithfulness. And they would kind of look at me and they said, well, thank you. You know, it was almost like, wow, somebody else sees me.
Yes.
And, but it was a blessing to them. I cannot say enough about the doctors, the nurses, and even the people that came in to bring the food. And they were all amazing. And I just can't say enough about it. I can't say, even to the people that came to my home for 2 weeks afterwards, mm-hmm. were just so compassionate and so kind and so tremendously knowledgeable mm-hmm. about what they were doing and about this virus.
Yes.
I had an interesting thing happen when I was in the emergency room, and I have to throw this in because, again, I was there for 24 hours and I was in such serious condition. Mm-hmm. And there was another patient that they had brought into the emergency room. And this person was screaming in the top of their lungs loud. And they put the person in the room next to me. And that person literally kept me up mm. and awake during the night. And so I could hear the struggle and the pain that they were in. So I began praying for the person next mm-hmm. to me and saying, God, touch mm-hmm. them. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, touch me while you're, if you touch them, go ahead, you can come on.
Don't pass me by.
You know, but I was convinced, you know, God doesn't do anything by accident.
Yes.
Nothing is an accident. Nothing is a coincidence.
That's right.
Nothing. That's right. There are none. And listen, and we think we're in control, and control is an illusion. We don't control yes. anything. Okay. So God is in control. And I really do believe that the Lord put her, that woman next in that room next to me in that moment, mm-hmm. to keep me awake so I would keep breathing.
Beautiful.
Because I really felt that if I went to sleep,
yes,
I wouldn't wake up.
Yes. Wow.
So I was laying there in my bed, and that God even used that. This was all a strategic, even though people say, oh, I'm so sorry you were in the emergency room for a day. Listen, they wouldn't have ever caught my heart issue if I hadn't been hooked up to the EKG, mm-hmm. which I didn't have in my room.
Mm. He is just so perfect.
Detailed. He's so detailed. And so I guess if I can take anything from this, Lisa, and I wouldn't wish this on anyone.
Sure.
I wouldn't say, oh, I want you to have this experience. Oh, no.
Absolutely.
But even in the midst of the darkest night, and there were some dark nights. There were dark nights when I was there by myself fighting to live, even though I knew God was with me. I knew God would be with me if I stayed there fighting, or if I just said, okay, let's do this, I'm done. I knew that God was with me. And God never leaves us. That's the only time in the Bible that there's a triple negative used. He said, I will never, never, absolutely never leave you. And I held to that. I held on to that. And Even in the darkness, I held on to it. Even in the struggle, I held on to it. And I think that's what we have to do. We have to fight to live sometimes, but there's victory.
Mm-hmm.
There's victory if we do not cast away our confidence. That's what the scripture is. Don't throw away your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Because there has a great recompense of reward.
Yes.
We hold on to God's hand and God will bring us through. So can God overcome COVID-19? Absolutely. And I'm very excited. Miracles haven't stopped happening.
Yes.
Since this disease started.
That's correct.
I think there's more miracles if we just begin to see them.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe there's some medical breakthroughs that are going to really take place here mm-hmm. in these next few weeks.
Yes.
They're going to be mind-boggling. And I'm just saying that in faith and mm-hmm. believing, because I believe that all knowledge comes from God. And if we seek God and ask him for insight, he gives it. He delivers.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that we're going to see that take place.
Well, I have to say, Kathy Baker, you have been so inspirational, and you have given a great message of hope, which is something I'm trying to spread as many times as I can to everyone who would hear what someone has experienced, or just a positive word of hope of not giving up. And so we definitely know that this journey is not by accident, and that you have become a part of many who have a story and an experience that will help somebody else to survive something that in their life might be not the physical, literal COVID-19, but they might have that experience one day where you can tell them, oh, you will make it. You will make it. Yes. Because you're going to continue to do what? Breathe. And I think that is very key. So you have many messages yet to preach. You have many messages because you've been through many, many things. So, hey, there's one bonus for you right there. But if everybody continues to breathe in and out, that's really the internal fight that you're telling me it took for you to continue to still be here. And so, you know, thank you for not giving up. And thank your, you know, husband for being by your side. And I know all of your members are thrilled to still be able to look upon you and hear whatever you have to say of wisdom. So just continue to spread it and pour it. And we certainly do wish you a happy Mother's Day as well.
Thank you.
And
you
that,
too.
Yes, and that you have many, many days and years left where you can share all of this love that you have and your knowledge and wisdom. So continue to enjoy every single moment. And thank you so much for sharing your experience with us.
Thank you for having me. It's my honor.
All right. Oh, thank you so much. Well, everyone, that's another Focus podcast, and we're just thrilled that you were here with us, and we're going to continue. Want you to subscribe so you can hear this, share this, and let everybody know that they can get more inspiration right here. So thanks again, and until next time, this is Singing Lisa.
The Akula Foundation, founded in 1994 by Dr. Shiva Akula, is the nonprofit foundation of Canon Hospice Foundation. Originally dedicated to providing hospice care to the indigent community, the vision and mission of the Akula Foundation envisions recovery from grief and loss through innovative programs for the community, providing compassion, professional support, continuing education, remembrance therapy, chronic illness, and palliative care services. Individuals in Louisiana and Mississippi, as well as patients and families of Canon Hospice, also benefit from these services and more. More information about other programs providing great benefits, such as Camp Swan, a children's bereavement camp offering 3 yearly gatherings, grief support, continuing education, and advanced illness management programs, can be found at www.akulafoundation.com. Akula Foundation can also be found on Facebook at Akula Foundation and contacted at 504-818-2723. The Akula Foundation relies on donations from the community. Consider Akula Foundation in your next tax-deductible donation, online or by mail. The Akula Foundation is available for you.